We're having a very lively off-the-air discussion as we listen to the invitation to the dance music of Carl Maria von Weber, which you can hear live performed by the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra beginning at 7:30 at the VBC. And usually I write out lots of questions, but I figure we'll just visit because we're all here. Welcome, Matt, Susanna, and Gregory.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you.
So it's not even Twickenham Fest time, and here y'all are.
No, we have a really exciting celebration this Saturday for the Bicentennial of Alabama. It's going to be wonderful. We're so thrilled to participate.
Yeah, go ahead.
And it's probably the strangest concert program ever created, right?
What are you talking about?
Thanks to me.
Yeah, it's creative.
It's interesting. Yeah, I was telling Gregory the one piece I couldn't find was the overture to Die Freischütz, music of Carl Maria von Weber, which is fairly familiar, and it's just not in our dusty library. So,
But I also think that Weber is undervalued. In general, you don't find many Weber pieces, except probably for Freischütz, on the program of major orchestras. And I don't know why that is. I guess as a former clarinetist myself, and you as a bassoonist, we can really appreciate Weber because he wrote these concert pieces for us.
Totally. I think as a bassoon player, I grew up only knowing Weber as the person who wrote the bassoon concerto. So as an adult musician, it's nice to play from time to time these pieces, but I think you're right. I've only played Freischütz overture and maybe a couple other things from Freischütz, but
yeah, his big radio hit is Invitation to the Dance, which has the tricky ending because you're sitting here and you think it's over, but it's not. They're not done yet. So.
When I was applying to colleges, I sang an aria from Freischütz, and that's the only one I've ever sung, and it's very, very rarely done. So I'm excited to hear that.
And in the Suzuki repertoire, there's an arrangement for kid violin of the Huntsman's Chorus. So that's how I know it. I was listening to my son squawk it out on his violin.
I was trying to create a program for the two of you, actually. So what do you do for soprano and bassoon, I guess?
We ask ourselves that all the time.
Every year, yes. Yeah.
And with the bassoon concerto idea came Weber as a composer. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be wonderful to do Freischütz, of course, as one of the great favorites that he has written, and also Invitation to the Dance, which is not his orchestration. Originally, it's a piano piece.
Yeah.
And Berlioz orchestrated it. So, we're cheating a little bit because it does sound like
tell.
A Berlioz. Yeah. We're not going to tell. It does sound like a Berlioz piece, but the music, the notes were written by Weber.
So before we start talking about the concert, so what's new with y'all?
Matt?
Yeah, Matt, what's new with you?
Yeah, what's new with you?
That's nice of you to ask. But it's something actually quite new is our daughter, Chelsea, who lives in Rochester, of course, with my lovely
Chelsea?
Wife, Molly. Chelsea is a week and a half old. She was born last Monday.
Time to start bassoon lessons.
That's right. Yeah, well, I think so. The other day I practiced for the first time with her in the same room, and I was kind of curious. And she kind of got to sleep a little bit. So I thought, I don't know, maybe killing two birds with one stone here.
Yeah.
Practicing and putting her to sleep. But
congratulations. Did she come down for the concert or is she staying with Mama?
Unfortunately, no.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I'll be zipping up back up.
We were just talking about our kids, actually.
Mm-hmm. All of us.
Off air. I remember when my older one, who is now 18, was young, and he was asked, like, what are you going to be when you grow up? He says, I'm going to be a concerter, because that's what daddy and mommy and grandma and grandpa, they just, left home in the evening and they went to do concerts. So I guess, I don't know. I mean, I'm not, I'm not pressuring any of my kids to go into music. But
I am.
If they
I'm pressuring
do, you
both
are?
Of them. No, of course not. But I it's interesting to see what they latch on to. I took James to our almost 3-year-old to a New York Philharmonic very young people's concert.
That's that what they call it?
That's what they call
That's
it.
Great.
And it's brilliant what they do. They really have found a great way to reach these children. And at the end, you get to try instruments. And they got to try a violin, a cello, and a bassoon. Completely latched on to the violin, and all I've been hearing for the last 3 months is violin, 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 which I'm terrified about because hearing it being played out of tune by a 3-year-old is going to be difficult for me, but I think he'll have a wonderful time.
Mm-hmm. He looks like a superstar in that thing. You showed me a picture. He looks like he's ready. For sure.
Well, my older one played the violin for 5 years, and then he switched to short track ice skating. So there's always hope, you know.
Yes.
Well, my kid wanted to be a dinosaur, and it hasn't worked out.
Oh, I want to be a dinosaur still.
Well, have a lovely time. This is the final concert. Susanna sings Strauss, but it's not all about Susanna. We have Matt playing the bassoon concerto by Carl Maria von Weber. Tell us a little bit about this piece and what drew you to it.
Well, first of all, I'm really happy and lucky to be able to be on this concert at all, and I'm honored, as usual, to be featured alongside our real Huntsville musician superstar, Susanna, who I am always honored to share any kind of presence with. So it's a great little way for me to play some music as well. And I was telling Gregory how excited I am to play this piece here, specifically in Huntsville, of course, but also with Gregory, because he is, in fact, a wind player and has, some experience with the bassoon itself. So I'm not giving other orchestras credit, but this is a kind of piece that might be tossed off a little bit, but I'm looking forward to playing it as in-depth as we can this week.
You want to listen to a little bit of it? You have a favorite movement of the concerto?
All of them, of course. That's what you're supposed to say.
Yes. No, I can't choose. Yeah.
No, I just play the last movement. It's Weber, and his music is very interesting because it's right in between. You know, the Romantic era is just starting, and you can hear that in the overture for his opera. And also these pieces are kind of Mozartian in spirit. But you can hear like if Beethoven had any sense of humor, he would have been this guy.
Yeah.
Charming final movement of Carl Maria von Weber's bassoon concerto that you can hear live, played by none other than Matt MacDonald, who is sitting in the studio. Sometimes, most of the time, I'm glad that we don't have cameras in the studios, but it's been so much fun to see what goes on, you know, while the music is playing and watching like air bassoon going on here too. So Matt will be playing this piece, and then we have another piece for bassoon and soprano, composed by none other than Gregory Voida.
Well, actually, since the idea of the concert was really the way I built the program was really around the Strauss Four Last Songs, mm-hmm. and 3 years ago when my dad passed and he was a bassoonist, you know, I composed a piece in the memory of my father, which is for soprano and orchestra. And since he was a bassoonist, I thought the bassoon should carry like the melody in the accompaniment to what the soprano is singing. So what Matt is going to play is really the principal bassoon part in the orchestra, but it has a solistic character to it. So, it's just like one of those coincidences when the piece, when I wrote it, we actually performed it right before Four Last Songs. And mm-hmm. the orchestration and kind of like the sound of it and the mood of it goes with the Four Strauss songs. And so it's just a lucky coincidence that it's soprano and bassoon here.
Yeah, it's awesome. Such a evocative and mysterious poem. It evokes mystery for me.
Yeah, it's William Butler Yeats.
It's Yeats. It's the cloak, the boat, and the shoes. And I would love to know why you set that poem, or what it was about that poem that made you set it and dedicate it to your father.
Well, it's what they say about Yeats is especially in his early poems. he kind of leaves you space or time to kind of fill out the blank in between words and their meaning, or you know, this world and the other world. And so what I did, it's a three-verse poem, and I actually composed a fourth verse that comes in between the second and the third verse of the poem, and that kind of like my way to say goodbye to my father, like in that, you know, musical part with no words, mm-hmm. and the words of the poem kind of evoke this very similar character to the Strauss songs. It's like there is this farewell feeling throughout the music, and also you can kind of look behind or look over the words and see something there. And you know, with music you can do that. It kind of, you can create that other reality that the words evoke, or the words like kind of call when you read them, mm-hmm. and you think, so, you know, those thoughts and feelings, that's what music is, mm-hmm. is the greatest vehicle for, is that you can actually compose the meaning in between the lines. So that's why I picked this poem.
It's a tremendous way to honor your father. I mean, very similarly to the way Strauss honored his father. His father was a French horn player yeah. and that's such a prominent part of his composition, in the four last songs. And you can hear that soul coming through the lines, and it's very similar to this piece. I think it's beautifully paired, very well thought through.
Thank you.
And I don't have a recording of it.
Well, you just got to come to the concert hall and listen to it.
I do have recordings of Richard Strauss's Four Last Songs. And Susanna, this is not your first time performing this piece with the HSO.
No, that's
you are
that
like 12. Yes.
Oh, that's right.
I think Carlos was conducting.
That's exactly right. Oh, my goodness. That's exactly right. It's actually not my first time performing them with Matt either. Mm-hmm. I came to the Louisiana Symphony and you played. And so did Chris.
See, Matt's having his,
wow.
We need his cameras just to see his facial expression.
A long time ago.
But also, what I thought you were talking about just then is when we would play recitals together, and we did More Again,
mm-hmm.
With bassoon playing,
which
the
is another Strauss song, mm. with violin solo. Apparently,
right.
You played it on the bassoon.
Right. Well,
see, you can do everything on the bassoon.
Absolutely, that's all you need is a bassoon. Yeah. Forget
but
the rest
you,
of the
when
player.
You have it, such an extraordinary bassoon player, it's so such an honor to be able to sing with him at all. I made him do so many things just to get to sing with him because he really is an extraordinary player. I was just saying in the break how much I love the sound of the bassoon and how it just sounds like caramel or cream. It has this really like nutty flavor to me, and I just love listening to it. So I'm so excited to get to be on this program.
Do you have a favorite of the four last songs?
All of them the right answer, right?
Okay, the question which one should I play? Which one do you think that the folks need to hear?
The most dramatic one, I would say, is the third one, Beim Schlafen gehen. I think that's got that beautiful violin solo. It's very, very kind of dramatic, but I would maybe say that one.
All right, let's listen, and then you can change your mind.
Thank you.
So, Susanna Phillips, did you change your mind? Is there another one that we should have played instead?
Well, they're all just amazing.
They are.
You started playing that one. I thought, oh, but the beginning of the second one is so beautiful.
But then we had to stop. Well, I was about to fade it out. And she's like, no, because it was that beautiful violin solo. And I was telling Gregory Voita off the air how amazing your new concertmaster is, Giulia Dino. I went to the rehearsal for your last concert, and I was so impressed.
Oh, yeah, she's great. And this is just a great way, actually, all four songs to show what the orchestra can do, mm-hmm. as well, because mm-hmm. this is just such a great, you know, last masterpiece of Richard Strauss.
Right. He was in his mid-80s when he composed this, and he thought he was about done.
Well, but I think his wife
told him,
you're
the soprano.
Lazy.
Yeah, she's a soprano.
You haven't composed anything.
Yeah.
And so he just put these songs on the table.
And, yeah, they weren't finished. In fact, I think there were supposed to be five, but we wound up with four. And he didn't mean for them to be played all at once, mm-hmm. but that's just how it happened. Now, Susanna has done this piece before. Mm-hmm. What's changed in your approach to the performance from when you were, like, 8 years old or however old you were last time you did it
really,
to
yeah.
now?
No, it's so interesting to revisit a piece like this over and over again. I think the texts are so deep. And part of what comes is just life. I mean, I have a different mm-hmm. perspective now that I'm married and now that I'm a mother and a stepmother and kind of in that part of life. And I'm sure in 10 years I'll have a different perspective, you know, being the mother of teenagers, I think.
it's fun.
Oh, yes, you will.
Yes. But no, I think, you know, and then 10 years from there, it's a different perspective. And I think that is, you know, shows what a wonderful piece this is, that you can sing it at 18 and have a fresh, bright view of the world and these you know, have one view, but then 20 years later come to them and have them really settle in your body. And for me, they are, when I did them as a young person, I really focused on the sparkling part of mm-hmm, them. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about the garden, and there's all these sparkling colors in them. But the last song was always the hardest because I just didn't have any perspective on the piece of
watching
death
the sunset
and
yes.
transformation mm-hmm. and what that brings. And I certainly don't have a, you know, personal experience dying, but I do have at this point in my life, I have more experience with those close to me, you know, passing away or going through hardships and having a sense, more of a sense of what that may or may not mean. And hopefully that peace will only grow as we continue to explore these songs over the years.
And speaking of passing, I mean, he's on my mind a lot. I was in the bassoon section mm-hmm. and pulling some CDs, and Hunter donated a bunch of CDs because he thought ours were cruddy. He called me, these are terrible. I'm going to bring you some good CDs. And he did. And I think about him every time I go into the music library because that's his contribution. You must miss him, Matt.
Good. Oh, yes, of course. And, yeah, it was this past summer he mm-hmm. passed away, and I just happened to be here. It was,
wow.
You know, when we were here in August for Twickenham Fest, and I did get to go see him before he died, and that was really nice. And he taught me everything from when I was here in Huntsville about the bassoon and about all the kinds of things that I've come to know are the important things to know. And so the CD thing was something he was very passionate with me about, too. The first time I asked him for a CD, that was the last time I asked him for a CD. And he just hooked me up with, you know, scores. And I literally, in my house, I have a whole library full of all of his scores that he just gave me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he was supportive beyond belief. And to be able to play the Weber Concerto, which, of course, I worked on with him as mm-hmm. a kid, and playing in his orchestra, you know, is really I would be remiss not to really reflect while I'm here on that. So
yeah, there's some reflection and some sorrow, but then we fly off into the supernatural with some Wagner here.
Yeah, well, it's another strange story there, right? The Flying Dutchman and the overture that goes with it. And I was trying to put the program in some kind of frame. You know, we're starting with an opera overture, the Freischütz, and then we're ending with an opera overture, the Flying Dutchman, which is among the early operas of Wagner. So you can I think, still hear where he's coming from. So that connection between Weber and Wagner is pretty obvious in the musical language, and also in just the form of the overture and how he uses different materials to practically tell a story.
I've told Gregory this before, but one of my first jobs in radio was running the audio for the local broadcast of the Metropolitan Opera in Atlanta. So my favorite part was the plot. It's like, what were they thinking? Yeah. Where did they come up with these things? Yeah, Flying Dutchman has an interesting plot, too. It's like, why is she so obsessed with him? She has this perfectly fine guy. Now, no one describes an opera plot better than Angela Brown. So,
I believe you.
Yes, okay. She was talking about Aida. Mm-hmm. She has YouTube. You have to look up her YouTube. She calls it opera from a sister's point of view. She said if it were her, she would not be getting in the tomb with that guy. She said, it's been 2 weeks in the desert and I'm dusty. I'm not getting in there with him. But this concert with the Huntsville Symphony concludes with the overture to the Flying Dutchman, music of Wagner. But I imagine Matt and Susanna will be back. Something going on in the summer, some music festival?
Yes, called Twickenham
Fest.
That this year is a big year for us because we're celebrating our 10th
year,
our 10th season. And it is absolutely incredible and such a privilege to have been able to do it.
And it's grown so much.
It really has. Every year it's gotten bigger and better, and I'm thrilled. And this year we're going to do some really exciting things. We're doing the Schubert Octet. We're having a new chamber music version of a song cycle that was written for me to be written for Matt and me and several other players. That is absolutely incredible. And it's going to be really wonderful. Oh, and we're doing this incredible bar talk piece with two percussionists and two pianists, which is super cool. And I think it's going to kick off the season.
Yeah, this is something that we've discovered is a real treat for me, at least. And is that the artists who have been here before kind of know what's going on here in August. And so not only have they invited themselves back, but they've
requested.
I've heard
the food is good too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They've requested certain repertoire. And so this is like a request from these percussion dudes who came and they were like, we got to do the Bartok Duo Sonata for two pianos.
There's a famous recording of this is the sonata for two piano,
yes.
Two percussion.
Yeah.
Bartok and his wife played this even when they lived in the U.S. So there's a recording, I don't know from where, but Bartok has to play the timpani part in the left hand because the percussion players got just lost. I mean, it was new back then, right? Yeah. We're talking about 43, 44,
yeah.
1944, Bartok died in 45. And so writing for percussion like that, it was totally new and just nothing else, just two pianos and two percussions. It was revolutionary. I mean, it's a fantastic piece, so don't miss it if you can go.
And what's fun for me is when I hear artists that have been in Twickenham Fest, and then I hear them on Performance Today or at other national venues, it's like, hey, I've heard of them because of Twickenham Fest. Now, after the concert on Saturday evening, Gregory, you're just done, right?
I'm just done. I'm going elsewhere conducting other concerts. But, of course, our next season opens in September. Uh-huh. And on the first program, we're going to play Brahms 2. That's the only Brahms symphony we haven't played yet since I'm here. And we're also going to kind of continue the bicentennial celebration here and feature the musicians of the Huntsville Symphony. So we're going to do the Haydn Symphony Concertante, which has a violin, a cello, an oboe, and a bassoon soloist in it. So we actually get to feature our principal players.
And you can find out more online at hso.org. Before I let y'all go, anything you want to add while you're just shout out here to your folks in Huntsville?
I just want to say I'm so excited about this concert on Saturday night. Getting to come and sing for the Huntsville community is always a joy, and I'm thrilled to be on the program with Matt and to be on the program with Maestro Voida. It's going to be such a fun experience, and I can't wait.